Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
We're talking about the Chicago Fire building a building. And
big story.
It's a huge story. How about this? We have a lot of people just, hey, what is this? Peoria Matt checks in. Who builds first, the Bears or the Fire?
My goal still remains to be able to, you know, to move dirt around in 2025, which is important.
Well, that's a good question.
But it's not. It's the Fire by a mile.
Well, I think
according
it's a good,
to this,
puts the pressure on.
I wonder if Jerry is bristling.
Now go ahead and ask me whatever you want to ask me, and I'll answer whatever I feel like.
I wonder if Jerry Reinsdorf knew this was coming. Or if he wakes up this morning, pours himself an orange juice, and does a kind of spit take as he reads his Tribune.
My sense is that they knew this was coming. Okay. So my sense would be, if the Sox are surprised, I would be surprised.
Right.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Still trying to figure that one out, Mr. David. The Chicago Fire getting to the 78 first. I think they called dibs, if I'm not mistaken. And apparently the White Sox believe all's fine, nothing to see here. I believe their quote, I don't have it in front of me.
I have it in front of me. Good morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday.
I think they said, what me worry?
Well, I don't think it was in those terms, but I do believe that they wanted to make clear publicly and loudly that the possibility still exists for them to build on the adjacent land. And the Fire beating them to it, claiming dibs, as the social media post suggested with the mass. Nice touch, by the way. Nice touch. Bold
it
move.
It was amusing. Yeah.
I don't know that I would have gone that far, especially if you're going to have a partner or a neighbor, but we can discuss that later. But the fact of the matter is, we talked yesterday to Mark Gannis. We talked before we talked to Mark Gannis, and it did seem a little inconceivable, or we were caught by surprise and thought that maybe the White Sox would not be able to do that. It appears that Related Midwest would like them to continue to try. And they issued this statement. Related Midwest first approached the White Sox about building a new ballpark on a piece of property they were developing. And we continue to consider the site as an option. We believe in the vision. Related Midwest visions for the 78 remain confident the riverfront location could serve as a home to both teams. We continue to have conversations with Related Midwest about the site's possibilities and opportunities. You're not buying it.
I'm amused by all of it. It sounds great. Let's go.
All right, but are you buying it?
David, who's paying for it? Is Joe Mansueto going to pay for the Sox?
No,
too?
He's not.
Okay, but then I have my doubts.
Well, the natural question is, so why were the Fire able to claim dibs as they did on social media?
Because they're paying for their own building.
I got 650 million reasons why.
There you go.
And when you step forward with that kind of private investment and you're willing to put up the money for a stadium, not just to stay, everything. And that is the biggest difference, because I don't believe that we have ever seen a number like that associated with the White Sox private investment or capital going toward that project.
Their building would cost more than that, for sure.
Yeah.
But they would never invest that much.
They would never invest that much. The building would be more than that. But also the return would be as well. Because there's 81 home games, and you would see. So I guess that's a broader conversation. But I do think that if you're wondering why, and it's not really that complicated why,
right.
But if people want to know why the Fire are having press conferences and YouTube interviews and celebrating a big day, the biggest day perhaps in their existence.
Yes.
The reasons why they have an aggressive owner with private funds that he's willing to spend.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So congratulations to them. And we'll see. We'll see if there's any other element to this story
that winds up
being of interest.
Don't you think the pressure's on a little bit?
I think the pressure's on a lot of it, and I think the pressure is on the Bears as well. I think that this is a guy stepping up and doing something while a bunch of people have been talking about it. I'm being honest. I don't know how I'm supposed to react, but my reaction is I'm pumped up. I like it.
As a Chicago sports observer, or
as
both?
A Chicago sports fan,
yeah.
I like that we're talking about, you know, it's called the 78 because it's a new neighborhood, right?
It's the 78th neighborhood.
Yeah. So we got Red Grange going, and now we're going to go one beyond it. I like someone sinking their own money into it and trying to build another neighborhood. It's a great turn of events.
It is a great day for Chicago sports.
Yes.
It really was. It's transformational for the Chicago Fire. I do want to ask you this, because we try to be really objective here. Honestly, we do. Objectively speaking, do you think that it's fair to compare the Fire to what the White Sox and, say, the Bears are dealing with in terms of what it offers?
The size of the projects and all the rest of it. Probably not fair. $650 million wouldn't get you a half a stadium if you were the Bears.
If you're an NFL owner.
33% of a stadium. Hey, I think it's an unbelievable amount of money that you got a Chicago guy putting into it. And he's doing so for the benefit of the city. So and for his sport, but he's not.
For that league. It's huge to have Chicago making this kind of investment.
I was thinking about it as I was heading home yesterday. Like, just think about if you had like a world-class facility there for only whatever the number is, 22,000, you know, you could play like your state titles there. You could give people an opportunity to go on that field, and they'd feel it would change. It would just alter maybe your existence.
It could
for the
be used
love of God.
In
be
multiple
great.
Ways
be
for
great.
Programs around the city,
sure.
Whether it's University of Chicago, Northwestern, yes. Or whoever, UIC, Notre Dame could come from South Bend. Oh, yeah, Loyola.
Thank you.
I intentionally
did
that.
You're talking to a Loyola soccer
I did that on
player.
Purpose, okay?
I know you did.
It's kind of winding you up.
Yeah.
But I do think that's a great idea
Notre
because
Dame.
It would appeal to...
Okay, Greg Council.
It would appeal to a wider audience. Soccer would grow.
Yeah, Villanova could come in because the Pope went there.
We could have a papal conclave.
You could have a hell of a tournament.
You could.
Honestly.
Yeah.
What would that look like? Marquette, DePaul, Loyola, Villanova?
No, Marquette.
No? Okay.
I would say...
No Marquette?
No. Northwestern. You know, Chicago team.
Oh, I thought you were going for the religious affiliation.
No. I'm saying... Do a city tournament.
They
right?
can say a mass there.
Have UIC and DePaul and Loyola.
I like it.
And,
I like it.
Northwestern and I mean just whatever soccer club you got in the city. You know, you want to limit it to the city limits? Okay, we'll kick out Evanston. You're happy with yourself? You got rid of the Wildcats.
Confession though, yesterday after the show. Because during the show, we had a lot going on. That story broke, and we're talking to people and
something
stuff.
Else.
So I take a look at the renderings.
Mm.
Looks great.
I know.
It was one of those renderings where you look at it and like, wow.
I know.
This is so sharp. And then
they put up a statue or something. It was like, whoa.
And then I did do a little like, okay, well, when was it? About a year ago? Yes, it was about a year ago where the White Sox had renderings.
Yeah.
And I'm envisioning that ballpark next to that stadium, and I'm thinking, wow, that would be amazing.
I think the White Sox, when they did their rendering, didn't leave room for a soccer stadium.
No, they just had a chair and a field, and they said dibs for the fire.
They just had a group of kids playing on a small field with George McCaskey officiating.
Yeah. And Kevin Warren on the side with his palms up. Kevin Warren's become a palms up guy.
Oh, wow.
What about us?
Oh, boy.
What about here?
Yeah, don't make Ben Johnson yell at him.
I am not making fun of the Arlington Heights Bears.
No, you're making the palms up.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Is it palms out? What is the expression?
Palms up.
It's palms out.
Don't be a palms up?
No, I'm saying with the Bears.
Yeah, they have hands out. Hands out, palms up.
You know, honestly.
You don't want to be a palms up football team or a hands out ownership group. So the Bears are still searching
being mean now.
For a deadline
to
break ground. The sure. White Sox are still searching for a revised plan, perhaps. I do wonder this. This is the broader point, and you alluded to it.
Hmm.
The amount of pressure that this puts on the White Sox to make moves in this direction, the amount of pressure it puts on the Bears to break ground in 2025. This is the side effect of the great story yesterday, because it was a great story for everyone. But those two things, Bears and White Sox implications, very interesting to follow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's may you live in interesting times, right? The old Chinese proverb. I think we're in pretty interesting times as far as stadia are concerned. And that was really surprising news yesterday.
Yeah,
and
the White Sox saying we're not done yet. They need to rally. They need to regroup and rally. And they, like their baseball team, you don't have a lot of faith in their ability to do so. Only because
they won last
of history.
Night,
they did win last night. How about that?
I mean, that's all that really matters.
How about that? Sox and Cubs both victories
teams
yesterday.
Win. Michael Bush.
Michael Bush and Michael Taylor.
Michael A.
Good day
Taylor.
For Michaels.
How about that?
How was your day?
I did.
You had a good day.
I had a great day.
You had a great day.
I got my Comer and Cross came to my house. I got my garage floor put on. Buddy.
I know. You know how we put the
incredible.
What we do in the show, we say, okay, at 7 o'clock, 7:25, we got Biggs and Dustin does it in the pregame. 8 o'clock, we got Ozzie Guillen. 9 o'clock, Bruce Levine. I wanted him this morning to say what time your Comer and Cross commercial was going to be.
I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm just saying
because I can't wait.
They came by and they put the garage floor in. I was emotionally prepared for it, but when it was over, I stood there and looked at it. I was like, "Wow! I mean, it is everything.
It looks immaculate."
It is. Yeah, I sent the photo to everyone.
They did a terrific job, so it appears.
Oh.
And it's something like let's say you're getting out of your car after you park it in your garage and you drop maybe some French fries that you happen to be eating on the way home.
Yeah.
Because I know you're a big French fry guy.
Oh, I love a
especially
good French fry.
Especially this new fitness kick.
On the way home.
Yeah, on the way home.
Thank you.
You can pick the French fry off the floor and eat it. The 5-second rule would apply to your garage floor because it's so clean.
I got to tell you, today is the first day we'll be able to walk on it, right? So when I get home, I said to my wife, I'm like, hey, what do you got going? Let's just have a picnic on the garage floor.
That's a good idea.
Well, on the way out, you were talking about sushi, and then I thought, this floor is so nice and so clean that you were willing to eat sushi off of your new garage floor.
I'm going to make it off the garage floor. I'm opening up a cottage industry.
That would be a business. That would be a business.
No,
it looked good. I'm glad it went well. You always have a little apprehension when you're having home improvement projects.
Right. But the home's improved.
Are you now leave the cars out of the garage because it's so nice?
we have to leave them out of the garage
for
24
hours.
So mercifully it didn't rain, so it didn't matter.
Where's the couch go?
Hold on a second. What did I do with the couch?
Where's the couch going in this nice new room? Where you going to watch the Bears?
Honestly.
Man cave.
If we just park on the street, we could have a nice living room back there.
A recliner would look good in that corner.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Where's the beer fridge?
Yeah, I don't have that either. Okay. Dustin, are you the one with the – do you have a deep freezer in your garage or something? Don't you have buried bodies back there? What is it?
No, I do have a freezer that I don't use in the garage that I don't know why I still have.
I thought you had a bear back there.
People typically do, though. If you have people,
I have a refrigerator in my garage.
Yeah,
but I don't.
Or
a
freezer.
I have a freezer and a refrigerator.
My mom has a freezer in her garage. It's giant, and I think there is ground beef in there from 1987.
Is it a walk, like an open? Because you have one of those, right?
It's like a chest.
Chest.
Yeah. This is like a chest.
Wow.
It's a giant freezer.
Does she still have meat in there?
Yes. Like I said, it's probably from my graduation.
I don't think mine isn't even plugged in. It just.
Really?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't eat the
meat. I wouldn't eat that stuff then. Yeah.
No, there's nothing in it. Oh. I just stack stuff on top.
Well, the good news is no razor burn.
Or freezer burn.
I'm sorry, freezer burn.
The worst. Freezer burn ice cream or freezer burn anything.
The absolute worst.
It's awful.
Yeah. Can't keep it in there too long.
Yeah, we had a lot of stuff in the freezer when I was a kid.
Yeah, we did too.
I don't know why.
But my mom never seemed to worry about that. It's just like I put more ranch dressing on it. It dulls the taste of everything.
No freezer burn.
Little sizzle.
Ever. I told you when my father passed, we went to, we were cleaning out the house. And my brother goes into his freezer. And he's standing there and he's holding up. There's all these thin patties. And each one is in foil. And there's a little masking tape on it with the word hamburger, which is how my dad would say it. So he holds this up and he's like, hamburger, hamburger, hamburger. I'm telling you, it's 15 of them. And then there's this kind of giant one at the bottom. And he's big hamburger. It's he was making burgers and he just got exhausted from making the 15 of them. And he left the chunk of meat in foil and he wrote big hamburger.
And that was a big hamburger.
I hit the floor laughing.
Did you cook those? Did you grill those?
No. I think we may have tossed them. Hey, we were all from different parts of the earth, and I don't know how long that stuff lasts in your fridge.
Depends on your tolerance level,
or your
really.
Car,
and maybe how tough your stomach is.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good.
That
point.
May be it.
Yeah, yeah.
So Sox win, Cubs win. Big night for Michaels. Bush has a ninth home run of the season. Good thing that there was a right-hander on the mound. So he could be in the lineup.
I mean, honestly, Dustin, I think you need to complain more.
What does he have to do?
What does the man have to do? Look what he did.
Look what he did, and I think he should stay in the lineup. He's having himself quite a good season. I like Michael Bush.
When did I want Michael Bush out of the lineup?
No. I'm saying you need to ensure that he's in it.
I do think today would be a day that you would give him the opportunity to hit against a left-hander.
Well, and the other thing is Kyle Tucker is going to take a couple days off.
That's another really good reason, right? So, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to have – in all seriousness, are you going to – with Tucker out of the lineup, are you going to – who are you putting out in the outfield?
Now? That's a good question, but I don't think it's a pressing one. Because the Cubs have so much offense right now that they can absorb the loss of Kyle Tucker for 3 days.
Right. I don't disagree with that. My point, David, I'm saying I don't think you can absorb the loss of Michael Tucker and Michael Bush today.
I don't think you need to.
It's
a very good point because Michael Bush can help you overcome.
And who's better at first base in the grand scheme of things? Justin Turner or Michael Bush?
Oh, Michael Bush.
Right. So again, Justin Turner last night was serving as your DH.
Yep.
So, but when they've played against a lefty, Michael Turner has been serving as your first baseman.
I wouldn't change anything right now from last night. You got another lefty on the mound. Mackenzie Gore's pitching tonight for the Nats.
He's really good.
Nasty Nats. He's really good. Okay.
He's a very good pitcher.
Yeah, they well, no, he, no shot
now
tonight.
Now you got to give them a nickname?
Yes. I think that's been around for a little while. I mean,
I know, but
back during their
you got to break into nicknames.
I think of Nasty Boys. I go to the Reds. I go to Lou Piniella's
old
crew.
I go Nasty Nats. I still remember 2017 or whenever that was.
I would hope we could remember 2019.
You can still remember 2017. Wow.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, they all bleed together.
Hey, listen. No, this team reminds me of 2016. It's the last time they were this far over 500. 16 games this morning. High water mark since 2016.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Very impressive.
This team, when they win games the way they're winning games, they're having fun. They're hitting it all over the ballpark. You don't ever feel like they're out of it. Like last night, you know, Cade Horton. Or get they're down early. And you're like, yeah, okay. They're going to get started fourth, fifth inning. They'll get rolling. Underrated player on this team. Who do you think I'm going to say? The most underrated player on this Cub team.
Do you have a nickname for him? Because that seems to build up value.
I like nicknames, in case you haven't told. Dustin, who's the most underrated player on this team?
On this Cubs team?
On this Cub team.
I think the guy that probably doesn't get talked about enough is Nico Horner.
Thank you. Yes.
That at bat last night.
Oh my goodness!
You want to like encapsulate an at bat like that was an unbelievable trip to the plate.
He has such good discipline. He is so tough minded, and he can hit with runners in scoring position. That stat is crazy. He's very good, and he's having a good season. We talk all about Dansby Swanson, and we talk all about the need at third base and Michael Bush doing this and the outfield that is star studded. But boy, Nico Horner very quietly is having a very good season.
So today is June 4th, I think if you look over the last few years, when teams are in first place by June 1st, believe it or not, that tends to hold up. I believe last year, the only team that was in first place in their division and did not win their division was Seattle. And other than that, every team in first place on June 1st wound up being the winner of their division and making the playoffs. So the Cubs, even though it's very early, they are in excellent shape with and I got to be honest with you, it seems like the Cardinals are going away and we're going to be looking at the Brewers again. The Brewers have started to win a little bit, but the Cubs have such a nice gap. You got to feel like whatever you want to do, whatever move you want to make just to ensure things, you're in pretty good shape right now on June 5th.
I think you've got to feel great about where this
fourth.
Is headed.
Excuse me, it's the fourth.
I think you've got to feel like you've been able to withstand some really big losses.
Yes.
Nobody really talks about Justin Steele anymore because the acceptance level, you had to move on quickly. Shota Imanaga, this has gone on, let's face it, a little bit longer than maybe we anticipated.
Will it go on a little longer than
yes,
we
I
think?
Yes, I do. I think we could be looking at July 1st.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's definitely
rehab stint.
I think it's at least 3 weeks. We talked about maybe him coming back for Dustin. But I don't think that's happening.
Well, I don't think it's going to be something that is fast. And frankly, I don't think they need to rush it.
Hmm.
The bullpen has lost Porter Hodge. They had inconsistency from Ryan Pressly. Plan A and Plan B kind of went to the wayside. And through it all, they have hit. And when you have an offense this dynamic and this lineup this long, you can do the things the Cubs are doing. But you're right, Molly. That's a point well taken. This is a team that seems to have right now what it takes to stay in the race and win the division and make things seem like anything is possible.
Right.
And it's fun. And good for Jed Hoyer.
And they got a closer, by the way. It does seem like they've got a guy.
Danny Palencia has stepped forward and really
as a closer.
Seized the opportunity so far. Long may it last because they're not.
Right.
Last year, how many blown saves did that get interrupted?
Was it 28 or 26. Something? 26. It was a ridiculous number.
It'd be a different conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So good for the Cubs.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, to
it's
hear
great.
Pat Hughes describe PCA at third base last night, freezing the infielder, and the way that Pat Hughes described it, and I was listening on the radio, and also kudos to Pat. He is a Hall of Famer. We take him for granted because we listen to him every day. When he said that PCA was the only man in America, the only man in America that could have had a double on the ball that he hit. Oh my gosh, that was awesome description. And PCA, he does it every single night, something that makes you say, wow.
Yeah, no, he's a very special player, having a great year. And the Cubs are, you know, top to bottom, especially given the way they've had to deal with things, as you say. I mean, the Steele thing is not ending, but everybody else will be back at some point. And, you know, you get the sense. And when a season goes on and you get a little hint of special, it feels like maybe you're more committed to going all in than you looked like, especially in the preseason.
That is exactly the way that every Cub fan wants to look at this season.
Yep.
And that is exactly the mindset that everybody wants Jed Hoyer to take, and Tom Ricketts, maybe to a larger degree.
Sure.
Because at the deadline, if there is an ace on the market, if there is a closer that is for auction, or heck, who knows who's going to be available.
Right.
You want the Cubs at the top of every list and included in every conversation or rumor for the best available player at the trade deadline.
Yeah, fun they stuff. Should be, no question.
Oh, by the way, the Bears were in action, too, yesterday.
The Bears were in action, and I guess if I'm not reaching a little, I think A.J. Hinch is going to have to change his rotation and start Scooble after the Sox win the second game of that series.
You think they're regretting that decision? No. You know what I think it was fun. The Sox that were mad.
I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
All right, we've got so much to get to. The Pick Six is next. It's Mully and Haunus.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw.
where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was the better injury news for the Cubs, that Kyle Tucker might need another day off after sitting out Tuesday, but won't need an IL stint, or that Shota Imanaga is now in Arizona for some live pitching, some live bullpens? Either way, both guys are headed back soon, I guess, with Tucker ahead of Shota.
That's great news. That's good stuff to hear before a game starts. I thought it was good news that Shota is heading to Arizona, and look, I guess it's not happening as quickly as we'd hoped. We thought by kind of mid-June he might be back. Now it looks closer to the third week of June, maybe even bleeding into July. And guess what? That's fine, because you're doing fine without him. You want him to be ready to come back and ready to play. I think it's great news that Kyle Tucker doesn't need an IL stint. I think it's nice that they can get him a couple of days and carry on, and then he'll be back and he'll be doing his thing.
I don't find the Shota news good at all. Not even a little bit. This is even extending, going beyond what David predicted, and I pushed back against.
Right.
I mean, it might end up being almost 8 weeks by the time we get to see Shota Imanaga again. That's not great. But to your point,
Amaya's like, that's till the All-Star break.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Amaya. Porter Hodge, but that's not part. That's really not. That wasn't the question, right?
Amaya.
Good news on Kyle Tucker. And again, you might not need him or see him at all against the Nationals. That's okay. You don't have to have him, right? You don't have to have him in there. So the better news is Kyle Tucker is not going to need an IL stint. That's the good news here.
Yeah, I think we came into the series thinking he was going to get a rest at some point anyway. So a jammed finger, we're not talking about a hamstring with him, so it doesn't seem to be the kind of thing you worry about too much. So I'm fine with Kyle Tucker. You didn't miss him last night. I don't think you'll miss him against the Nats. I am concerned a little bit about Shota Imanaga, but I also believe that in a weird way, I have two thoughts about this. Number one, I wanted him back if he was going to be back for the beginning of the Tigers and Phillies stretch, because those are two very good teams, and he's not going to pitch. But I also think the longer this goes on, when he returns, it might even feel like, oh, that's a cool move at the deadline or near the deadline, or when you typically make a trade to bolster your starting rotation. That is going to need bolstered. Cade Horton has been really good. He wasn't great last night, but he has been good enough, and he hasn't lost a game that he has started. And so last night he went 5 1/3, and did just enough, gave up 3 runs. Hey, you'll take it without Imanaga in the rotation. But when he comes back, there'll be some things that he'll be welcomed back, I believe, because by then maybe some inconsistency will have crept in. So I do think this was mixed injury news. Kyle Tucker not worried about Shota Imanaga. The longer this goes on, the more we're going to wonder how he comes back, and is he going to be effective worrying about a hamstring injury he's never had before?
I understand the question.
He sounds like a fed-up Craig Counsell there. With a homer, 3 RBI against the Nasty Nats, and another right-hander, was Michael Busch finally earned the right to be left alone and in the lineup against the lefties? Would Craig Counsell have benched Anthony Rizzo in 2016 against lefties?
I wonder that. And by the way, you said you heard Craig Counsell sounding a little bit fed up in that answer coming in. How can you tell? That's everyday Craig Counsell.
Yeah, it's just him.
He always sounds fed up.
Right.
And he always...
No, not always.
I mean...
Didn't sound fed up this morning when we were playing back what he said after the
Maybe not fed up, but he doesn't sound like a guy that is life of the party type of thing. Do you think he had some fun last night? We'll have to get back to that then. I listened, but maybe not that closely.
What do you do in D.C. for fun?
What do you do in D.C. for fun?
D.C.'s a really hot town. Are you kidding?
I've never been.
Oh, DC's fantastic.
You've never been.
Fantastic.
Dude, for the love of God, go see some of the monuments of your country.
Nonetheless.
You've been to Springfield.
I don't know. It's not the same as Springfield.
Imagine Springfield.
Yeah.
Now just clear your mind of it.
Exactly.
But believe it or not, I won't be going there anytime soon.
Okay, well, if you were there tonight, you might see Michael Bush start against a left-hander. It would be worth the trip because I think Michael Bush needs to be in that lineup tonight. I think they've got to trust a guy who is hitting since he was benched 2 days in a row. And I'm going to say that's the right word, benched. If you're not hitting against lefties, you don't trust him to hit lefties. He's a professional hitter. Let him hit. We don't have many complaints about Craig Counsell. I think he's done a fantastic job this year, specifically managing that bullpen. But I do find curious why he won't let Michael Bush hit against left-handers. So tonight, I think that ends. And I think in 2016, had he been the manager of the Cubs, I think Rizzo would have had a few more days off.
I would be extremely disappointed. And now this is almost like the other day we talked about. I mentioned I was paying attention to White Sox Twitter to see if Luis Robert Jr. was getting that day off. We'll get to that more in a minute, but he did not get that. I am going to be refreshing Twitter around 3 o'clock today quite a bit to see what exactly Craig Counsell is doing with today's Cubs lineup.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see him stay in the lineup. I really do. I think it's important because I think you want him there at the end of the year. And I think that the only way to get better at it is to face it and to see what he can do. I think it's, you know, if he goes out there and all of a sudden, like, he doesn't know how to swing, holy cow. Like, you know, there really is, like, kryptonite involved in this thing. I think it would be pretty extraordinary. But I think he's a guy who's a part of this thing, and you feel good about him. And he stepped up and delivered yesterday when you were without your best hitter, ostensibly, with all apologies to PCA. I think that it would be a good thing to develop that. And it would be a good managerial move to kind of give him a shot every once in a while and take a look at him. I don't know why you... You're never going to get better at it if you never try it, right? So do it. Let's see it. Let's go.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
That is the voice of Brad Biggs, and Biggs time is at 7:25 this morning. What did you think of the way Cole Kmet answered the question about the way he felt when Colston Loveland was drafted 10th overall?
I think at first, like, you're taken back a little bit, but, I mean, Ben was awesome about it in terms of calling me right away and kind of explaining the decision, and you know, from there, you're just all on board on it, and you kind of understand their vision, and you know, you understand that there's going to be areas where we complement each other, and then there's obviously, just like in any position room, there's going to be areas where we compete for things, you know, and that's football, and that's how it should be. So I'm excited about it, and I'm excited, you know, to not only push him, and then for him to push me, and we're going to make each other better, and you know, I think the goal with it is to, you know, become the best 12 tandem in the league, and see where we can take it from there.
How is this going to go?
Well, you know, I like Cole Kmet. I think he's a good soldier. I don't know. I mean, he lost his starting job. Cole Kmet is no longer the starting tight end of the Chicago Bears. He is part of a tandem now. So he's going to make the most of that, and he wants to compete, and he wants to get out there. You don't draft a guy 10th overall and not play him and not start him. And I get it. You know, Loveland's got to get back. He's got some health things that got to be cleared up so he can get ready to go by camp time. But when he's ready to go, he's the guy that's going to go. They play a lot of two tight end sets in the way Ben Johnson does things. So it's not like there's no role for Cole Kmet. But when they drafted a player at his position, he became the second best player at his position. He's no longer the lead dog at tight end. I would guess that he's probably no longer a captain either. Wasn't he one of the eight? Just because it's going to be hard to maintain. First of all, I hope there is a lot fewer, but it's going to be hard to be you can be a leader, but I don't know that you can be more than you can really be a nominal leader unless you're playing enough. So we'll see how much he plays.
We'll see, but I think you also probably get excited that Ben Johnson is your head coach if you watched any Lions football, and Cole Kmet seems like the kind of guy that would pay attention to that, would like get his own copies of tapes, if you will, and watch what Ben Johnson did in, you know, different personnel groupings. And listen, he said all the right things. But didn't Cole Kmet recently get some new paper from the Bears? I mean, he's paid
it's
like
been a while now.
He's paid like
handsomely.
A starter. You also
like
don't
a $50 million deal.
You
I
also
think?
Don't draft a guy 10 to your point and not play him. But like, I think let's see what the snap count is at the end of the day. If they're winning and the distribution's there, and then they're really trying to drum up the fact that a lot of people were really into Colston Loveland, like right, the Rams were trying to get. From like 20 something.
Oh, he's
to
an impact
eight.
Guy.
Like, I mean, he was a sought after.
He was a sought after
player. I mean, it's also good that Ben Johnson apparently did the right thing and immediately reached out to Cole Kmet and tried to explain what was going on in that situation. Yeah. So I would have expected nothing less from Cole Kmet than how he handled himself
good
yesterday.
Leader.
Yeah.
I love the transparency. Nobody would have bought it had he said, had he tried to deny. What he said was a feeling that he was taken aback.
Of course.
All of us were a little taken aback. And I think that when you look at his role on this team, it will be diminished in terms of targets. I don't think that it will be reduced in terms of that much playing time because of play so much two tight end sets. He will just be in a different role. And that is football. I like the way he said that, too. Cole Kmet was humble, he was honest, and he was also competitive. Basically, you're not going to take everything away from me, rookie. I'm going to be there still in the red zone competing for catches, competing for targets, and all of those things. To me, I don't think it diminishes his stature in the locker room. I think it enhances it. I think he is going to be a captain. I think he is an example you want to follow, and that is what leadership sounds like yesterday. A guy who had his job taken from him on draft night, a guy who is not going to be probably, if they have three wide receivers on the field with one tight end, chances are he might not be that tight end if it's third and five or if it's a passing down. So there's a lot to digest if you're a local guy made good and you're the pride of all the Bears, you know, local community and all the things that his family and friends, humbling it is.
I'm not dissing.
But he took it well.
I just think I think the other guy's ahead of him. I mean, when you start talking about even at the goal line stuff, David, as you know, you don't draft a guy without a good idea of how you want to use them.
Okay, next question.
Voice of Ozzie Guillen joining the show at 8 this morning. How about Luis Robert Jr. getting 2 days off to see media press pause on his awful slump, according to the manager, Will Venable? He's scheduled to focus on adjustments and alterations to his wretched swing. Is this a good idea or far from enough? What else were you expecting? 2 days or bust, huh?
Well, I think that I wouldn't have announced it. I wouldn't have announced it. This isn't your top rookie prospect or a guy, the minors that you're sending to the Camelback Spa out in Arizona. This isn't that guy. This is a guy who is capable of hitting 38 home runs in a season. Talent-wise, he has immense talent and among the top center fielders in the majors in terms of just raw ability. I wouldn't have announced it. I just would have said, he's got a groin injury. Or he's got a sore hamstring, whatever. And then you take him aside, you send him to one-on-one with the director of hitting, and you rebuild his swing, much like they did with Miguel Vargas. Where's the best biomechanic in Bridgeport? You know, find him to redo the swing for Luis Robert Jr. And then you tell him, you're going to play every day, and you're going to bat seventh. And if you don't like it, you do something about it. Hit your way back to the top of the order. I don't know that about this kind of public discussion, because some guys can take it and some guys can't. Nothing that I've heard from Luis Robert Jr. through his interpreter, Billy Russo, tells me that he can handle this kind of public discourse over why he's been so disappointing. So I think the Sox misread this one. They did a good job with Colson Montgomery, perhaps, because the glare wasn't as bright. And even though the Sox aren't drawing people on the South Side, and even though they're in the midst of another 100-loss season, it's still the majors. And so when you do something like this, you intensify the spotlight on a guy who's not producing.
Is this a love of a game type of thing going on right now? Is it that he's just kind of lost interest, and maybe they think that if you take it away from him for a couple of days?
No.
Okay, then if it's not that, if you don't think it's that, then I think they're making a mistake. Then I think he should have been sent to Arizona to work on, as it's stated in the question, the wretched swing.
You can't do that. He's 5 years in. You can't. You can't move him. He would then. You'd have to put him on.
He could have a wrist. You'd have to make up an injury.
Right.
I mean, that happens all the time, I think, in baseball.
But Dustin, he would have to agree to that. Okay. Yes, he's got a lot of say in what they do with him. So they're limited in what they can do.
Well, I'm wondering if it's more physical, if it's more mental, if there's something going on off the field that we don't know about. You know, like David, I think you mentioned it yesterday about Ozzie hadn't had the chance to get the opportunity to talk to him, it was all with good intentions, and maybe we can talk to Ozzie about that later on. I don't know what good it does to sit on the bench for 2 days. And if you were going to sit him down, why wouldn't you have sat him down the other day? Like, why did you let him play one game and now decide to sit him down?
Yeah, he would have to go along with a trip to. I think there's a lot involved in this thing. I think the part of it is that his status is such that you can't control him the way you could control a Colson Montgomery or the way you could control an Andrew Vaughn. So he's just been there too long, and unfortunately, he has to kind of go along with all of it. I don't know why they came up with this plan. I don't know if he has any interest in going along with it. In other words, if they want to, like, move his hands or do – if there's some subtle thing they've seen that they want to work on him – with for a couple of days, is he going to take to it? Is he going to ignore it? I think there's an empty piece of information on that. I think 2 days is far from ideal for the length of time you would need to fix some of the issues that he's having. He cannot lay off these terrible breaking balls. No one is pitching to him, so he's not seeing any fastballs at all. He's seeing nothing but garbage. And he's just melted down, and he can't, for whatever reason, he can't see what he's looking at, and he can't swing and connect with anything. I mean, he's in as bad a spot as you're going to find a guy. And I would be hard-pressed to imagine that 2 days is going to fix that or change that in any fashion. And the fact that they can't send him anywhere else, and they're keeping him here, and they, you know, look, they got all the equipment and they got all sorts of pitching stuff, but what does he want? You know what I mean? And I don't know what the guy wants. I think the other thing is, and I've been thinking about this a little bit, let's say you create a fake narrative, phantom injury, and he goes along with it. Now he's a guy. I wonder if his agent is telling him, don't go along with that.
I wouldn't go along with it.
Now he's a guy. Now he's a guy that has another injury.
Yeah, he's already labeled.
That's a guy that can't get on the field.
Can't do that.
And now I just don't know that you can pull that off. So you're in a real
But that's for the injured dilemma. List. You can rest him if you're saying that he's a guy.
Right.
That they just should have quietly done this.
Yeah. That's right. I don't know why they wanted to announce it. Because I think it's what Dustin said. Like, I thought that would have happened earlier. I think they felt like, well, we didn't do anything and nothing changed. We can't not do anything, so let's do something.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
Bruce Levine will join the show at 9. Can you believe that Tom Thibodeau was fired by the New York Knicks after producing their best season in 25 years? Are the Knicks overly ambitious or utterly incompetent? Pity you can't fire James Dolan, huh? What now?
I guess the question would be, if Michael Malone wasn't available, would they have done this? So I guess they hire him. Is that it? I feel like it's bizarre to me, number one, that they got rid of Tibbs after the best season they've had in 25 years. Number two, that they got rid of him after giving him an extension last offseason, right? they owe this guy major dough. Like, they're going to pay him $30 million to go away. Thanks, James Dolan. That's nice. The worst part of the whole thing, as far as I can tell, is they kind of claimed, oh, well, we met with all the players. So let me get this straight. Are you blaming the players as to the reason that you got rid of your coach? The players wanted him gone? Like, does that include Jalen Brunson, who's your best player, who's known this guy literally his whole life? I got a hard time with that narrative. I just don't know that I believe a word of that. I don't know. I think Tibbs does really good work. I don't know who could have done a better job with that team. That team, you know, they beat Boston, for God's sake. That's unbelievable. I never saw that coming. I get it. Tatum got hurt at the end, but they won some of those games, man. I mean, I don't get it. I think I'll go with the James Dolan should go.
He is, to your point, he's getting $30 million to walk away. I'm guessing he gets another job if he wants another job. Maybe he wants to try his hand in college. Different game, not as much recruiting. Maybe. I'm just saying, it's not like you're, you know, running around to high school gyms these days. I don't think that's kind of changed quite a bit. He actually got better. You know, there was a time he was doing some analyst work on the Four Letter Network.
He's good.
At first, he was a little dry.
He's
good. He got better as it went on.
I like him.
Again, I'm not. It's an ego thing, I'm sure. But again, he's getting $30 million to walk out the door. I mean, let's put it this way: that if, from a fan standpoint, if you're a Knicks fan, I think you're kind of like, he can't get us any farther than he got, and the only reason he got here was because, to your point, the Celtics lost their best player. I think that's part of the equation. So I wonder if this morning and yesterday afternoon, I'm thinking Knicks fans are really excited. Now it's all about who you get into be the next head coach.
Well, no disrespect to you, Dustin, but I do think that's lazy thinking to think that Tom Thibodeau can't get you over the hump after he just coached you to the Eastern Conference Finals with a roster that was so limited. He couldn't go more than eight deep without trusting his bench. Come on.
He's actually accurate, because then he finally started trusting his bench, and it was almost thought of as a little too late. He finally started going 10, 11 deep for some guys to play defense.
And then
all of a sudden it worked, and then they were eliminated, and people were like, see, that's because he's so stubborn.
Yeah, I don't think that people say people this and that. Tom Thibodeau, if your point is not a good enough coach to win a championship, I'll argue with that. He hasn't won a championship, but I do think that it's not because of the way that he coaches.
But
he coaches
the only
hard.
Coach in NBA history to have over a 530 winning percentage.
So you think this is justifiable? You think this is justified firing?
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, I do.
This is so ridiculous. He gets his team to overachieve, and you're saying, oh, yeah, well, we can't get him from point A to point B. Or
why did they fire
B
Doug Collins?
C. Don't stop with the Chicago references. This is such a tired argument. Tom Thibodeau is an elite NBA coach, and James Dolan is a dumb NBA owner. And Tom Thibodeau would be an asset on anybody's NBA bench. $30 million to go away. When did he get dumb? At what point between the extension and now did he get stupid about basketball? It's the same approach every single season, every single team. And if you don't like it, don't hire him in the first place. You know how this is going to go. And if you give him another player and you go out and give him another better roster, he'll get you over the next step. Come on. It didn't make sense 10 years ago when Jerry Reinsdorf sent him a goodbye to Chicago, and it makes no better sense now.
Well, that's where I was going next. I wanted to know how you felt then.
I was ticked off.
LexisNexis
I was
or
ticked
Microfiche
off. You
want to go, or whatever.
I'll find it for you.
Okay. I think that would be awesome.
I was as ticked off then as you made me now.
Good. Mission accomplished. Mitch?
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Wait till you hear my answer on this one. How bold was the Chicago Fire social media post of their mascots calling dibs on the 78 to build the new stadium, presumably trolling the White Sox for not claiming the land first? And how do you feel about the Sox statement saying the 78 is still possible as a site for a new ballpark?
Well, if you want to see that, go to DearChicago.com, I believe, and you'll see the Fire mascot in the vacant 78 patch of land, put down a lawn chair, sit down, and read the Chicago Tribune with the front page, the news that broke yesterday. And it is very well done. and it is very amusing. I probably wouldn't have done it because now you're kind of trolling your neighbor, your future potential neighbor. But I do think it was funny, and I do think it was in the spirit of the day, and the Fire owned the day. This was transformational. This was Joe Mansueto going out and doing what aggressive owners do. They invest in the city, they invest in the franchise, and they improve the value of everything about the Chicago Fire. The White Sox now have the pressure on. If indeed they are serious about what they put out in a statement, that they want to be part of this as well, okay, let's get on with it. Where are you going to get the funds? Can we step forward and can you have an announcement? We've seen the renderings. What do the Ishbias think? What does Jerry Reinsdorf think? Let's find out, because now the pressure is on them. And oh, by the way, Kevin Warren, let's get those shovels in the ground and get those cranes in the air, because the Fire, they're breaking ground in September, as soon as September. Maybe later, but it'll be before 2025. What you got?
I thought it was well done as well. I thought it was funny. I thought it was well done. I think it was a jab. I'm all for that. The only thing I want to say, and I love the fact that this owner and then his group of investors are, you know, this is privately funded. But there's a big, big difference in building a 22,000-seat arena and building a 88,000-seat arena. You know, there's it's buying a Lamborghini versus buying 55, maybe 45, but it's a lot bigger than 22. 45. It's a lot bigger than 22. The point is, you know, there's a money. It's at least bare minimum. It's 44,000. Otherwise, why would you build it? And then the football stadium's got to be 80,000, or why would you build it?
No, the football stadium.
So I'm just saying, there's a different kind of investment involved in this stuff.
Yeah, this is someone's own money. I really enjoyed the social media post. I when I see stuff like that, I remind myself that the owner doesn't film that, and he doesn't write the script, and they have hired people that are doing stuff like that. And sometimes a joke from that part of the organization isn't entirely reflective of the entire organization. And we've seen people get in trouble about it. So I hope nobody gets in trouble, because I did find it amusing. I thought it was really, really pretty funny. And I also think it's apropos. I think they've got dibs, man. They are definitely the leaders in the clubhouse, and they'll have their – I would imagine – I got to be careful how I say this. I would imagine they'll have their building built by the time the White Sox figure out what their next move is. So I don't want to say anything that
I – could take a while.
I got to be careful.
That's by 2028? So you're giving the Sox 3 years to come up with a plan? Oh, goodness.
That's what I'm thinking.
Thought I was over the top this morning.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Let's have some fun. Extra Point is next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Which of the two series are you most looking forward to? The Stanley Cup Finals or the NBA Finals? Which of the two will go longer? Which do you feel more comfortable calling?
Well, I think that the city of Indianapolis, I was there over the weekend, and I can say this was before they it was before they clinched. They're anticipating an NBA championship. Now, it's exciting to be in a town like that when their team is alive, and Rick Carlisle is right, you know, in 49 states is basketball, but this is Indiana. I love the Pacers story. I love the way that they have stuck with their coach and rebuilt this roster and all of those things. But Oklahoma City is going to be the prohibitive favorite for a reason. They're deeper. They've got the MVP. They've got Alex Caruso, and they've got a better chance of winning. And I think it's going to be I don't want to say lopsided, but certainly a dominant performances by the Oklahoma City Thunder in their building, probably 5 or 6 games. Now, the NHL is a much different story to me. I would be shocked if it's 5 or 6 games. I think it will go 7 games. I think this is the year Connor McDavid breaks through. This is the year the best player on the planet gets his chance to hoist the silver chalice, as they say. The Stanley Cup champion will be the Edmonton Oilers. They will fulfill my prediction. They will be on top, and the Panthers will give them all they can handle. But 3 years in a row in the NHL Finals, like we used to say about those Blackhawks teams, those legs are tired, and it's going to show. And in 7 games, Connor McDavid will be the difference. That's not exactly going out on a limb. Of course he will be the difference, but he is going to will this team to a championship, unlike last year when he was unable to do that. And I am looking forward to watching those games more than I am the NBA Finals.
The Thunder are -670 for this series. I wonder where that ranks as biggest favorites for a series price. Those numbers courtesy of Circus Sports Illinois. So, I mean, I'll watch because that's what we do. And if there were here's another question too. You know, if these games somehow were going head to head, which one would you tune into? I will be turning into the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm very curious about this matchup because I do think it could go 6 or 7. The Oilers, David's Oilers, are -124. But my Panthers, the team that plays in the United States of America, are +111. USA, USA, USA.
Oh, man. Oh, man. That's the reason why you're rooting for the Panthers?
Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. I will not miss a minute of the NBA Finals. That's just the reality of it. I'm going to watch all of the NBA Finals, and I don't think there's going to be a ton of it. I think that it will be OKC in 5, and that's just being polite to the fine people of Indiana. But I don't think this is going to be that great a series. I feel like one team won 68 games during the regular season, has the MVP, and really plays a style that will be fascinating to see against Indiana. I'm very curious to see how the defensive gusto of OKC pays off. I think it will pay off. So I'm going to watch that one. I'll watch every game. I think I'm going to try to watch as much hockey as I can, but I don't know that I'm going to get really into it until the series goes on. And I think that it is going to be I think it's interesting because you got the defending – you got both teams played a year ago, and they went seven, I believe. But I think the difference now is that that Edmonton has home ice advantage. I think that's going to help them, and I think that they are going – and you're right, you get tired after year after year after year. But I think that Edmonton's a little bit better than they were a year ago, and I would venture to say that Dustin's blessed United States team is a little bit worse than it was a year ago. So I'm going to go with Edmonton, but I've got Leon Draisaitl winning the Conn Smythe.
Hmm.
I think over your guy. I think they'll be
that would be as bad as Siakam winning the Eastern Conference Finals MVP over Halliburton.
It did happen.
It did happen. It should not have happened.
Well, it did happen.
Didn't please the Halliburton father either.
And it was interesting because I think it was like by one vote, right? It wasn't it like
9 votes, 5-4.
It's pretty tough.
It's pretty close, pretty bad.
Yeah, it's tough stuff. When you go to accept an award and find out you didn't win.
I would have done the same thing.
Another coffee bet, who wins MVP between you two since you guys are so pro-Canada?
Conn Smythe's going to McDavid.
If
they win the cup, there's no way. There's no way. Hold on, I need to stand up.
He's got to stand.
No shot.
I got to start cheering.
Yeah, exactly. You're not even going to watch the finals.
I was going to watch it.
You said you're going to turn it on Game 7.
No.
Hey, Molly, there's 5 minutes left and Game 7 is tied. Oh, I think I'll watch it now.
I took Edmonton in 6. How can I turn it on Game 7?
All right.
Just saying, I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep, David. I'll watch it the next day. I will lose sleep.
Connor McDavid only plus 105. Draisaitl 750.
Draisaitl.
Much better bet.
Yep. Thank you.
Neither one's going to cash because the team from the United States of America is going to host the Stanley Cup.
Florida man says you're wrong.
51st state, the winner. Wait a minute. What did you say? You tell the governor premier, what? It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 312-644-6767. Who you like, who you got, who you taking, who you watching. Mully and Haw on the score.
Here's a bouncer back to the mound. Ball game over. Throw to first. Cubs win. 8-3 the final. Presley works a nice ninth inning. And overall, Ron, just another... It sounds a little bit like a cliche, but another team victory for this Chicago Cubs ball club.
Top to ball. Left side. Rojas battling the wind. Fighting for it. And he gets there. Ball game. What a bounce back win for the Sox. An 8-1 win over the Tigers, who have the best record in Major League Baseball. And this series is even at a game apiece.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. Cubs are a machine. They keep winning. The White Sox stop the damage for a night, and they won a baseball game. So, fun night for all our baseball fans in Chicago.
Shane Smith bounced back for the White Sox, and you needed to see that. He is your best starting pitcher. Adrian Hauser has been good, but Shane Smith has been there all season long, so you like to see that. As for the Cubs, goodness sakes, Pete Crow Armstrong at it again. He stole a base, and it was his 20th. He became the fourth fastest major leaguer in the modern era to record 15 homers and 20 stolen bases in just 60 games. The others that keep the company, Eric Davis, Ken Williams, not that guy, the other one from 1922, Bobby Bonds, and Bo Jackson. Pete Crow Armstrong is fourth. So he's keeping company with Bo Jackson, Bobby Bonds, and Eric Davis. That's the kind of season he's off to. The only major leaguer on pace for 40-40.
Yeah, I mean, he's just he may end up hitting more home runs on his own than the White Sox do as a team. Is he getting it done?
The speed kills. He's the only man in America that could have made that one play into a double. Pat Hughes
we heard called that great.
It was awesome. Yeah.
He might be the only man in America who could have turned that ball into a double.
Due respect to Tyreek Hill.
That's so funny. The only man in America.
Who's the fastest man in baseball? Is it PCA?
Who's the fastest man in America?
I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. Fastest guy in the NFL is Tyreek Hill.
No, but...
There are faster men in America.
There are sprinters who are awful fast.
Yeah.
But they can't play an ounce of baseball.
But in that context, Pat Hughes was on. That was great. PCA. And then the better play was at third base. We referenced it earlier. Ground ball.
Yeah.
Infield. PCA's toying about, should he go, should he not go? He fakes going home. He doesn't go home. He beats the third baseman back to the bag, and... Everyone's safe. Carson Kelly lumbering down the first baseline.
Oh, I know.
He didn't have to beat the throw because it was too late.
He's a hell of a player. I think we have known that all year long, and he is just adding to his mystique pretty much on a nightly basis.
The PCA mystique.
The guy, he can hurt you in many different ways. And you're right. His speed kills. It really can wreak havoc. And the guy is also able to. He's hit the two lowest home runs. That I don't know why that amuses me so much. He's hit like two little launch shots where it's like a guy standing over a golf ball, and he's just whoop, like kind of teed them off into the stands. One was like a quarter of an inch off the ground. Well, I mean, the two lowest.
He's the best bad ball hitter in the sport right now. And when he was playing cat and mouse at third base and he created that kind of havoc, it reminded me of the discussion we had, Javi Baez.
Yes.
Playing around and running back and getting in a rundown between home plate and first base, which was crazy, a crazy memory. But he is to this Cub team what Javi Baez was to the Cubs for several years, one of the more exciting players in the game.
Yeah, he is definitely as exciting to watch as Javi was. I think I went back and I was looking at Javi. He had like 3 years where he was over 5 WAR, right?
Yeah.
And had some great years.
Fine career.
But he only had like 4.5 seasons in his whole career that you would say put him on the track to something. It's really interesting because I don't think even what he's doing this year can.
It's not sustainable.
No.
It might not even be sustainable for the rest of the season.
I know.
Because as the Tigers get healthier, you think his at-bats and usage will diminish. So,
but PCA is sustainable.
PCA is going to be the everyday center fielder there if things go right for the next 8 to 10 years.
And I mean, the next 4 or 5 could be spectacular. The numbers could be unbelievable.
They could. And he could fulfill and do what Javi did, win a World Series for the Cubs.
Wow.
I'm just saying, that you said 5 years. If the Cubs aren't thinking they're going to win the World Series in the next 5 years, I don't know what they're thinking about.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen. Is Kyle Tucker gone now, and is it PCA that's going to be the centerpiece of the team? I'm just curious how you envision the pitching holding up. I mean, I'm just saying.
Could you afford the loss of Kyle Tucker more now that PCA has emerged as a superstar?
Not this year. I think you need Kyle Tucker this year.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's made a huge difference.
Well, he's going to help you do whatever you plan to do this year, no doubt.
But it'll be interesting if that doesn't turn out to be long-lasting, which, a lot of people doubt it will. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that works out. But plenty of positivity. No need to fret over anything. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.